Do you want to empower your team to solve problems? Do you perhaps find problems generally end up on your plate? Or perhaps you find yourself getting frustrated by regularly being disrupted by questions and problems that are raised by your team? Well, in today's episode of De-Stress Your Business, I'm diving into an approach that can not only resolve those sort of problems and issues, but empower your team to solve them without derailing you, freeing you up to focus on strategic growth. Welcome to De-Stress Your Business, the podcast where we show you how to get incredible results in your business without constant stress. I'm Alexis Kingsbury, a serial entrepreneur and founder at Air Manual. Now, in a fast-paced business environment, problems are inevitable, but getting sidetracked by every little fire isn't. That's where issue management comes into play, which is a system that I now use in my businesses, adapted from the books like Traction by Gino Wickman, combined with concepts from Scaling Up by Werner Harnisch, and my own experience from working with hundreds of businesses, both as a consultant and through my software businesses. And it's an approach that I operate in all of my businesses and recommend that others adopt as well. It's centered around three key components: the issue tracker, meeting rhythm, and empowering the team to solve issues. Now, before we go into each component, let's first understand why we need issue management. Now, the heart of it is that we want to avoid getting derailed by issues as they come up, and instead give the team the opportunity to try to solve them themselves. Now, let's start with what do we mean by issues? Issues can be a problem, a question, an idea, an opportunity, or a potential threat. I find that it's often most usefully phrased as a question. So to give some examples of issues that you or your team members might raise, why is our conversion rate falling? Or could we increase revenue by moving a specific segment of existing customers onto our new pricing? Or should we be doing anything in preparation for a change in government that's expected? Or are we happy to go ahead with this new IT system based on the quote that we've been provided? Or when's the best time to communicate our change in terms to our customers? Or is one of our core values still right for us right now? Or would our customers prefer to have a phone number to call rather than having to use email? Now, all of those issues, they vary in terms of some are ideas, some are problems, some are opportunities, threats, etc. But without a good approach to managing these issues, how do you think those questions, those issues would get handled in your business? Well, perhaps it might be that someone thinks of one of those and as a result sends an email, or even worse, a CC all to your whole team. And then there's a back and forth which derails that team and slows them down discussing the issue and so on. Lots of back and forth, very, very slow, takes up a load of time, very frustrating. Or perhaps a team member disrupts their manager to ask the question. So perhaps going into their office or making a phone call, or even sometimes, you know, just a Slack message or a Teams message or whatever, but you're pulling them away from their immediate priority without really reviewing whether or not this is their the top priority for that manager to be spending their time on. Or perhaps someone just comes up with one of these ideas, concerns, questions, whatever, but then unsure what to do with it and not got an immediate opportunity to discuss it, forgets it and it gets left. So what could have been a good idea or might have been important just gets lost. So to avoid all of that, we need to implement a better system. Now, implementing this system starts with setting up an issue tracker, which is just a simple, organized way to capture and prioritize issues as they arise. Now, this can be as straightforward as just a shared document, like a Google Doc or a Dropbox paper or whatever it is, or perhaps a sheet in a spreadsheet. The important thing is that everyone has in that team has access to it so that they can add ideas and issues and so on as they come up. Now, I'd suggest having one of those per team. So perhaps one for sales, one for finance, one for your leadership team. So they've each got their own place to capture and solve these issues. The next component we need is establishing a meeting rhythm. And again, I'd recommend this one per team. Now, we confine our team meetings to a set schedule, typically weekly or every 2 weeks, which allows everyone to prepare and ensures that issues are tackled in a timely manner without feeling like everyone's always in a team meeting. Now, the frequency can vary. Like my 6-person sales team, they run their meeting weekly, whereas my 2-person finance team meets every 2 weeks. The frequency really depends on how active the team is and the types of issues it's likely to deal with. You might have a team where it makes sense to do it monthly, but essentially you want a period of time that means that you can leave issues to get solved in those meetings rather than feel like, oh, well, that's ages away. Now, of course, very urgent issues that are, you know, the building's on fire, of course you deal with in the moment. But most things, the vast majority of those issues should be captured in the issue tracker and picked up in the meeting with. Now, before I go on, it's worth saying that team meetings are not the only meeting that we have in that meeting with them. In my businesses, we also have a daily 10-minute huddle meeting for the whole company. We have weekly one-to-ones between direct reports and their line managers. We've got quarterly strategic planning sessions. We have happy hours. We even have cross-team one-to-one, kind of what we call cross-team waves for team members that wouldn't normally get to talk, just to kind of create engagement and conversation, and particularly relevant for us with a remote business. But those are sorts of things that are worth thinking about for any business. Now, in that the team meeting, which in our case is normally either weekly or fortnightly, depending on the team, we have an agenda that we follow the same every single time. So first we start with a positive focus, which I always think about Nick James and Dan Bradbury. I remember whenever I did sort of coaching and mentoring with them, they'd always start with this: what's the positive focus before we get started? So we use sharing wins. So everyone in the team sharing their wins so that we've got that positive focus, but also it's an opportunity to catch people doing things right. So as a manager, I'll often use it as an opportunity to highlight amazing things I've seen team members do, particularly in line with our values. Secondly, we review KPIs. So what are the key metrics and targets that we're working towards and how are we doing against that? Normally in a dashboard so that we can see progress over time. We then review progress against our objectives and key results. So essentially our projects that are going on alongside business as usual. We'll then review our process dashboard to identify any upcoming deadlines or things that are overdue or issues that have been that are coming up as part of sort of business as usual. So for example, the finance team identifying, oh, confirmation statements coming up, or we'll be renewing our insurance soon, or pay reviews are due or whatever. Then we share employee and client insights as specifically as possible. It's really useful to share those kind of relevant ones with the whole team so that you've got that. We'll then review any previously agreed actions from the previous team meeting. Then we solve issues, and I'll go deep into that part of the agenda in a moment. And then we recap any new agreed actions. Now, typically that's a 1.5-hour meeting, and most of those agenda points get just 5 minutes each. Except one, which is solving issues. That gets at least 30 minutes, ideally a full hour. Now you might be thinking, how can we do this? How can we do that entire agenda except the solving issues bit in half an hour? Like there's so many things, KPIs and progress on projects and so on. Well, at any point in the meeting, if we identify a question or a topic that requires further discussion, for example, ooh, I've spotted our conversion rate seems to have dropped recently, we add it to the issue tracker. Now that takes discipline. It's tempting to talk about something because, oh, this will just be a quick one, or, oh, it's probably likely to be a priority for discussion later anyway, so let's just talk about it now. So it does take discipline to avoid falling into that trap. But when you do it right, it keeps most, like the meeting, really fast paced. You're identifying issues, capturing them and moving on. So if you're looking through the dashboard, our conversion rate seems to be slipping. Is that a concern? Were we expecting this? Don't know. Okay, drop it down to the issue tracker. And then you might go further down. Any other issues? Oh, why is our traffic seems to have taken a blip last week? Okay, drop that down. And so what we're able to do is very quickly identify what are the things that we might want to discuss. Now, we go through the agenda, and when we get to the solving issues part of the meeting, which is the second to last agenda point just before agreeing any other actions, which is literally normally two to three minutes, we do that solving issues part is most of the meeting. Now, it's worth saying that when we come to solving issues, some issues get solved outside of team meetings, often by the person who raised it, because they'll think about it some more and come up with the answer. Or Maybe the team leader will see the issues while they're preparing for the team meeting and they'll tackle it proactively. So they'll say, oh, there was a question about this. Yeah, I know the answer and share it if it was just a simple question. However, most issues get solved in the meetings. And so the way to do that is first, we just prioritize what are the top few issues we want to address. Really simply, just either moving them to the top or just highlighting them in some way. And that's really quick, like not spending minutes on it, it's seconds, it's 30 seconds, just anyone got high priority things, bring it to the top, because normally it's pretty obvious what the high priority things are. Then for a particular issue, someone needs to tee it up, to outline why it was raised, recap any research or discussion that's been done on it so far, essentially framing up what's the decision that needs to be made. And this is often the person who raised it, but maybe it may not need to be if other people have been involved in that issue or whatever. So firstly, that's a great opportunity to already start to empower your team for them to be the ones that are raising and discussing or teeing up these kind of issues. The next thing, when you then come on to actually working out how you're going to solve that problem or answer that question, is another great opportunity for the team leader to empower the team. So what they should do as a team leader, what you should do, is hold back from jumping in with your own solutions. I know it's tempting. I know that you're probably best positioned to answer most of the questions, but instead invite others to share their suggestions. Now, sometimes they will share really good suggestions, other people agree, and you all reach consensus and you go, yep, I agree with that. In which case, that's fantastic, and they can take the actions to then fix it. So for example, if I think about an issue that one of my teams had, one of the members of the sales team, having completed some training and reading a book and so on, said, hey, I've got some suggestions on how I think we can improve part of how we do discovery calls and demo calls. And so they'd listed out those, which we then discussed in the team meeting, and then agreed which ones we thought, yeah, this really works, and some tweaked wording in terms of the sorts of questions we might ask. Or I think they had also identified some questions that was like a list of 6 questions, which we could reduce down to 3. So we agreed what those were in the meeting. And then they took the action to go and update the process so that every future call would do it in that way. And so I, as the team leader, was able to sit back and let them have all of that discussion without me having to suddenly wade in, and then without me having to take the action on my back of updating the process, they're able to do it. And so that's really, really powerful. When things go well and the team come up with those things, you're able to step back. Now, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes you do need to give the guidance. And so that's fine. The team leader can weigh up the view, any views that have been shared, and give their own conclusion and reflections and essentially come to a decision and share that decision. But that helps the rest of the team understand how to solve future problems and understand why the team leader came to that conclusion, having been given an opportunity to reflect themselves. And that's really important, because whilst it can feel quicker to just solve the problem in the moment, long term, it'll save you a lot of time if your team are able to solve those problems, both in the meeting but also outside of it. And that comes down to building that muscle, getting them to practice that. Then, once you've solved that issue, you repeat it. You take another priority issue, tee it up, solve it, and so on. And you keep on repeating that. And if there's more time available, you might prioritize some more priority issues. And typically, you might solve 3 to 5 of your top priority issues in a meeting, sometimes a lot more. Sometimes, you'll just solve 1. But as long as it's the top priority issue, that's fine, and you should feel really good about that. The worst thing you could do would be having discussions throughout the meeting that aren't really solving priority problems, get to the solving issues part, say, we haven't really got any time to solve issues, and then you have to close the meeting. That's the wrong way around, right? You've got to spend that time solving issues, even if you're only solving 1 priority issue. As long as it's top priority one, that's all good. Now, I want to talk a bit more about empowerment, because the real magic of this system is not just in managing the issues and solving those problems, but empowering your team to own this process. By involving your team in those team meetings and letting them lead the discussion and the problem solving, and possibly even leading the facilitation of the meeting itself after you've run it a few times, you're building their skills, you're building their confidence. And that empowerment is absolutely crucial. And a great example of this was a client of ours, a sort of medium-sized, large-sized training provider, who, when using this approach, they managed to successfully transition from being stuck in the day-to-day and so on to getting that handed over to their senior management team, and it enabled the business owner to focus on being more strategic, and ultimately they were able to then sell the business at a really, you know, to an acquirer that was really happy with how the business was set up and how self-sufficient it was without that business owner in the core. Now, to illustrate, what did that look like? Well, when we first started working with them, I remember actually shadowing one of their team meetings with their leadership team, and how every single problem was essentially raised in the moment. So it was thought about. Sometimes people would have their own notepads with some perhaps post-it notes of things that they, questions they wanted to raise, but there was no shared visibility of those. And then someone would raise this as part of the meeting, and there'd be no prioritization discussion because it was just raised. And so they'd immediately jump to, okay, this person, let's say John. John wants to know what's the plan for product D, because we've not heard an update on it recently. And so then that would be pointed at the business owner, who'd then go, okay, what's the plan for product D? You're right, you haven't heard an update on that. Yeah, so, and then they're having to think about live, what are they doing with product D? Is there an update they can give? Do they need a wider company update? Has the priority shifted and so on? Now, in that particular example, product D was something that was way low down on that business owner's priority list. That's why there hadn't been an update. They were working on some major other projects and issues. But for John, that was just kind of on his list. And he was like, huh, I haven't heard an update on this. And so they spent 10, 15 minutes discussing whether there should be an update on product D and what that update would be, without at any point thinking about what the priority should be. And all of that time was spent with the business owner having to try and think about the answer and so on. And so when they eventually came to a conclusion, then John goes, great, thanks very much, got that clear. But no one else has built up any knowledge about how to solve that problem. Even if the entire team came away with that clarity on what's happening with product D, they haven't gone through that process of thinking. And so it was very clear, as soon as I started working with them, that business owner could not spend even a few days, or certainly not more than multiple weeks, without having to get their laptop out, because issues all had to go through that one person. And when they weren't in those team meetings, that business owner was continually getting essentially Teams messages, you know, sort of instant messages from the team with questions and so on. And that's how they spent most of their time day to day, was answering questions via these messages. And so that's not a good use of time. And of course, the crazy thing is, what do they start to conclude? Oh, maybe we shouldn't have team meetings because, oh, you know, we barely get anything done. It just takes up time. And of course, the reality is, you need team meetings, but they need to be productive. So what we started doing was putting in the meeting rhythm. So they had the effective meeting rhythm, because the meetings were a bit of a mess and ad hoc. But also put in that standard agenda. Initially, they were resistant because they said, oh, won't we need to do the, you know, won't the agenda need to change depending on what's happening? So we explained, well, the solving issues bit is where that happens. So if you've got things that you think need to be on the agenda for discussion, add them to the issue tracker. That's what happens. We always had resistance where they said, well, shouldn't we have a discussion at the beginning of the meeting to discuss the priority? And so they had to get used to that, to say, no, the issues and the priority of those will become clear once we've gone through what matters, our KPIs and projects and so on. They were worried that the sorts of issues that they were raising couldn't possibly wait until their team meeting. The reality is that, of course, once they start doing it, those issues could wait, and that the urgency wasn't high. It did take some discipline for the business owner to start pushing back and reminding people to add it to the issue tracker rather than just throwing it to them. So they'd still get messages and they'd say, you know, they'd look at it, think, is that urgent? No, in which case they'd just say, okay, can you add it to the issue tracker, please? And that'd be it. And then they don't need to worry about it until the meeting. Now then, in the meetings, once they got the issue tracker, once they got the meeting with them, we then start that process of getting the team to come up with how to solve the problem. Now, initially, that was harder on the team than the business owner. The business owner did a really good job of actually just being quiet, although it did feel very, initially, it felt very much like it was almost like they've got the answer and they're gonna hold back, and that doesn't feel great. Instead, over time, they're able to adjust that approach to make it more genuinely like, I'm interested in your views and what do you think a solution could be, particularly as they start to see that some of the ideas from the team were better than their initial reaction. So that was important. But the team also initially had a tendency to kind of look at the business owner and like, well, what do you think, and so on. But with practice and over time, they got to a point where actually they got more and more comfortable building up the confidence and the skills, more and more comfortable to sharing their own ideas and suggestions. And increasingly, the business owner was saying, yeah, you're spot on. I've got nothing to add to that, which was amazing, because what it then meant is that she started to get to a point where the business owner could step out of those leadership team meetings. And previously, if she wasn't available, like she's on holiday, the team meeting wouldn't go ahead. The leadership team would go, oh, there's no point. She's not there. And so instead, she was able to take the time out and they would still go ahead and they would solve issues without her and so on, which meant that she was then able to go on long holidays without having to open a laptop, knowing that the team were going to be solving these issues. And if there was an issue she was concerned about, perhaps while on holiday, she could add it to the issue tracker and feel confident that the leadership team are then going to do it. Now, after doing that, they liked it so much, they started to then implement it in each of their departments, in finance and sales and marketing and client services and all these sorts of things. But the key is that they started off with that leadership team so that they could build that muscle, and that each of those leaders, those essentially heads of the teams, could understand what good looks like and practice it so that they could then take it into their teams to do a good job. But ultimately, that client implemented those strategies and transformed their business. They got to a point where that business owner who was approaching retirement was able to make a successful exit, and that the team were able to continue and feel really positive about the future rather than feeling like they completely depended on the business owner. So it's really, really powerful approach. And so to wrap up, empowering your team to tackle problems effectively is not just about problem solving. It's about creating a resilient, proactive workplace culture. And by implementing a structured issue management system, you not only keep your days and weeks from being derailed by unexpected issues, but you're also fostering a team that's capable of handling challenges without your constant oversight. If you'd like to learn more from me on other approaches that we've used to make a huge impact in our own businesses and those of our clients, there's a variety of ways you can do that. But one is to check out a series of videos that I did available at airmanual.link/getting-started. That specifically talks about the approach that we recommend that's aligned to the way in which one of our software businesses, Air Manual, was built, and exactly how to do things like documenting your processes and setting up employee onboarding and how to manage processes and so on. But if you'd like more episodes of this type and there are particular topics or problems that you'd like for me to cover, just reach out, send me a message, perhaps on LinkedIn, or you can email alexis.kingsbury@airmanual.co. I'd love to hear what are the sorts of things that you're currently struggling with that we could help with, because we've worked with so many different businesses and I've had a lot of visibility of solving different problems. So I'd love to help you out with that. Otherwise, thank you for tuning in to De-Stress Your Business. I hope today's episode inspires you to look at how to manage issues in your own business. Remember, it's not just about solving problems, it's creating that environment where your team can thrive and take ownership. If you did find it useful, please share it on social media, tag me in, I'd really appreciate it. I'm also conscious that we've had some amazing reviews of the podcast in recent weeks. So thank you to those of you that did that. Really, really appreciate it. We read them all, but I'd also love to see some more come in. It really is the best way in which you can support this podcast. So if you haven't already, please do give the podcast a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. We'd really appreciate that. Otherwise, thanks again for listening. Until next time, have fun.